More, everybody. Hey, they got the mic on, don't they? Let's see. How y'all doing? Been a little while, huh? Cold? Wow. Let me see. Let's start today with 287. Let's stand, please. 287. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for opening the doors today to your house, letting us in, Lord. Thanks for the long time we've been away from each other, Lord. Snows that we had, Lord, the cold temperatures, it was dangerous outside, Lord. But you saw fit to let us come today, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you that we can come together today, fellowship with each other, shake a hand, Lord, say hi to someone, speak to someone, Lord. Thanks for the opportunity. Again, for the opportunity, Lord, of being here today to open your word and do a little bit of study today with our pastor, Lord. Thank you for our nation, Lord, for the many freedoms that we have, Lord. We're losing them, Lord, but we pray that you sustain us, Lord, and we know that you will. Be with pastor today as he speaks, Lord. Guide him, direct him, give him the strength he needs to delay today to deliver your message, Lord, one that might speak to each and every heart here today. Thank you for this time, Lord. Just bless. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let's see, we got a song on the overhead coming up here.
Summer filled the earth from heaven.
As you can see, our bulletin's been made and remade once or twice. But here we go. Evening service tonight at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a business meeting tonight also to pick up for the stuff that we didn't get taken care of the last business meeting. Check the pastor on Wilton Bible Study Days. Personal evangelism is on the 23rd. There's going to be a birthday celebration for Dave Brockert following our morning service on the 28th, which is our monthly get-together. Everybody is invited. Fellowship's going to be the 28th. Kitchen team are Sharon, Brenda, Zelpha, and Patsy. Women's Bible study the 30th at 6:30 at the church. Pastor's thought for the week. Actually thought for the past, what, 2-3 weeks? Thought for the week, snow and cold are part of our light affliction on this side of heaven for the believer. Heat and torment, heavy affliction await as a destiny for those who reject the cool, living water of Jesus. Guys, you'll come forward. Take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, again for getting us here today. It's been brutal, Lord. The cold, the wind, the snow. Been out here shoveling it, Lord. I know firsthand what it's about. But thank you, Lord, for seeing us all through it. Getting us back here again today, Lord. We had a good number that showed up here today in spite of the cold. And thank you for that, Lord. Be with us now as we go into our service time with Pastor, Lord. Guide and direct there. And please, Lord, be with the gift and the givers who take up this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Doug's going to come with.
Well, I'll get my stretching in before I get up here from one end of the aisle to the other, right? Okay, well, I'm going to sing In His Time this morning. Certainly God has His special time for everything. All the seasons we have, winter now, you know, the cold and the snow we've had. But the beauty, you know, I mentioned the pastor, just love the snow on the pine trees. Just gorgeous, when that landscape, you know. And the song says, great is thy faithfulness. Spring, summer, fall, winter. You know, seed time, summertime, crops mature, and then the harvest. Reward. God's faithful, right? And just tremendous how He gives us those each time in its proper balance. In His time. In His time. In His time. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time. In Your time. In Your time, Lord, my life to You I bring. May each song I have to sing sing, be to you a lovely thing in your time. And he is Lord because of his time. He is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, and that you are just who you say he is Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate that reminder about the faithfulness of God. Well, it's been a while, huh? I got to take care of some paperwork here so I have some room for what I've got to bring you today. But anyway, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't know how you are, but when we get out of the routine, routines are important in our lives, I believe, to an extent. But it's a little different today. I think I'm rusty. So I need the oil of the Holy Spirit to get me lubed up. But I want to welcome you all here to our time of worship and fellowship this morning. And it's good to see a nice number out on a cold day. And I just want to say this too, for all that had a hand in any way, if you prayed or anything else, thank you for everyone that worked on the cleanup here to keep the facility open and whatever part you had. But thanks to all of us, again, and to God for his help, obviously. But for anyone that has a part in just keeping Fruitland Baptist Church on a viable path, it's a delight to work together, and hopefully we can work even more on being a team with all the things that we do. Anyway, we're backed up a week. The idea here was that we didn't have the message last week that we had planned. And so we just kind of carried over last week to today. And Doug, I thank you for doing the music. I was supposed to have it, but since we kind of backed things up here a little bit, and we'll need to talk about that for next week, what we're going to use, because we're out of whack. If we're going to just pretend like today didn't happen and we go into the last Sunday of the month, I don't know how that'll be, but we need to talk. Anyway, I am sure every one of you has a story to share today about what's happened here in the last week. Maybe pipes are frozen, falls taken, snow shoveled, but it does disrupt us a little bit, doesn't it? But it's good to be back here together, gathered in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ here with us today. Melissa, you won't get angry if I share this, will you? Because you had a great day Friday, right? Retirement. But what everyone tells me, that's why I don't know if I want to retire, because they say it's more busy after you retire than it was before. But we're glad to see everyone here today. The title of our message today is a part two, and we may get done today and we may not. We'll see. But the title is, is the local church a priority in your life and mine? So we'll explore that further today. And it's something that bears our thoughts and the study of the Word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit as we go through that. But before we go a step further, we need to pray. And so as usual, quite a few things have taken place in the 2 weeks since we met here on Sunday morning. And today, if we'll just take a few moments in silent prayer here to adjust our hearts before the throne, and then prepare also, as I have a pastoral prayer, but to utter the things to the Lord this morning as well that are near and dear to your heart. And don't forget, there's people out there that are hurting today. We have a community around us. We have families. We have all kinds of relationships. And some of those today, my friends, are strained. So I pray that we would think about those things today. But again, it's good to see a good number with us, and appreciate that time of fellowship we had here just prior to the morning worship service. Pray again this will be a blessing to all of us today and to the Lord as we gather around his throne. Let's pray together.
Oh God, our Father, as we approach you today individually and yet corporately as the local church known as Fruitland Baptist Church, Lord, as I mentioned earlier today, I want to praise you today and again acknowledge what a wonderful and awesome God you are. We thank you, Lord, again for your personalities, for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Lord, the complexity and yet the divinity and the approachableness of your throne of grace and mercy. So we thank you today, Jesus, that through your intercession and your shed blood and the rending of the veil when you died on Calvary's cross, we have access today to God the Father through the work of the Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all you do, for your ministry to us as the one who comes alongside, and Lord, for the sealing that you have in the lives of those who have trusted in the Savior that says our salvation is sure and can never be taken away. We thank you that we can come to you today, Lord, in certainty and in truth. Now, Lord, again, as we praise you, we also want to thank you, and that is for your grace and mercy that's been extended to all of us, Lord, through the days that we've been given here on this earth. We pray, Lord, that this would never be taken for granted, that we would be understanding that and thankful for it each and every day, and to give thanks in all things, because we know that is your will for us. Thank you today for the gathering of the church. Lord, for the support that others give to those of us that are weak or that are needing support, Lord, this is a part of the church. And for the feeding and edification we get from the teaching and preaching of the word. Lord, may this be a day that we take serious account of our walk with you and with others. Today, Lord, we realize during these times of weather that you have given us for your reason and purpose. Some folks are not able to get out. Some have had trials. Some have been ill. Some folks have been injured, maybe in a fall, or had different things that have taken place. But, Lord, we thank you for those that were able to gather today, and we pray for those, for whatever reason, that could not be here today, that your Spirit would be there in their presence, wherever they may be today, Lord, and hopefully they have their word open today and are, again, approaching your throne with a desire to grow. I pray, Lord, you'd change us all here today and cause us to think and to have time to have alone with you. Now, Lord, we pray for those as well that may be hurting in various ways, and we remember our community around us today. We know, Lord, that it's likely, we don't know for sure, but we know that many people probably everywhere today are rejecting you again. But I pray today, Lord, that you'd penetrate the hearts with your grace and mercy to those that may have a hard heart or a hard head today. We thank you, Lord, for where you've put us, and we thank you for the institution known as your precious church, the Bride of Christ. Now, Lord, here it is with me. I said it, I'm rusty today. And there's been a lot of disruption, a lot of things that get out of kelder, things that we normally wouldn't do during this weather. And by the way, Lord, I do pray too for things that we may take for granted, but the livestock and the animals that are out in these bitter days, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you watch over us and care for us. But I pray today, Lord, that you'd help me to bring this message. I'm weak, I'm disconnected, I'm rusty, but I pray the Spirit will help me today to bring this forth for your honor and glory. Now I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, folks, we're going to continue with our study of the church, and if you have your scriptures with you, we'll use those here this morning as we go through this lesson. But the premise that I was led to bring this message on is that people in general do not place the church, Christ's church, as a priority in their lives. And that is very evident to us today because we have probably at least half the seats in here that are empty. So for various reasons, this is not a priority in life. I encourage us all to sort through sometime what really are our priorities. When I investigate my own life, I know there are things in my life and in my walk that should not be in the level of priority they are. But I can assure us of this morning, folks, that Jesus ought to be the number one priority in our lives because he's made us number one priority. never leaves us or forsakes us. He's that constant rock that we can depend on. He's the one who loves us with an everlasting love. I think it bears evaluation then how we respond and how we react to His church, because this church is Jesus' church. Now, He is the chief cornerstone of the church. He is the one who gave and shed His precious blood for us. And He dearly loves the believers. The church is made up of believers. Well, the fact of the matter is, we know that probably the Lord's church is not a high priority for many people. And that's determined as to how we treat it. Okay? The church is not a building. The church meets as an identity point in a building, but the church is believers. It's people. And it's premised on people that are believers that have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, there may be people here in our presence who have never trusted Him, and they are here, but I want you, they're gathered in a building. But if you are not a blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ, you are not a part of His church, technically. Okay? And we'll talk about that more later. But the church is the assembly. It's the called out ones who have identified with Jesus Christ in salvation. So we want to know that today. We looked at some of this. I won't go back over it. The church is made up of two components. Number one, we looked at quite thoroughly last time, and that's the universal church. The universal church is an invisible body of believers for all time in the church age that have trusted Jesus Christ. And so when we refer to that, we could refer to church as the universal church. But today I want to emphasize the local church. The local church is a church like Fruitland, which is a visible church. It's a place that you can touch, feel, and sense. And we'll look at that today as we work through this of the two components that make up the Lord Jesus' church. Now, as I mentioned last time in getting started, the church is a very controversial place. We have to lay this on the line. The church is a controversial place, not because of Jesus, but because of sinners. Even saved sinners, we still have a propensity to struggle with a lot of different things. Today, many people choose not to identify with a local church because they believe there is a lot of corruption in the church. I believe that certainly is a possibility. And folks, we cannot pull any punches. And I want to just say this unequivocally, that if you are afraid to join a church in an official way because of the horror stories that you've heard, they're true, but Jesus still wants you to be a part of it. It is worth it to serve Him. And it isn't as bad as you may think. There's probably many things that have been told about Fruitland Baptist Church. I'll tell you what, if you have questions about some of those, at least during my time here, I'll give you an accurate, from my perspective, assessment of that. But don't let what you hear and what takes place hinder you from being involved in the local church. I can assure you this, I've lived in this area long enough, and I won't mention names, but many of the churches, even of our type of circles, have had a lot of troubles over the years. I know this stuff. Some of you do too. And wherever there's people, there's going to be trouble. But let me just tell you this, folks. You're going to have trouble with anything you do. You buy a new car, you're going to have trouble. If you're married to someone today, you're going to have trouble. Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But what I always say is this, come and join us. Let's go through this together. Let's do it right. And I want to just say this before I preach further. Fruitland Baptist Church may not have all the glitz and glamour, but you know what? I like Fruitland Baptist Church. We're nominally a working class church. I would have said today that we're somewhat tending toward a blue collar church, but then I have to consider myself, and my collars are always gray. You understand what I'm saying, though? We're nuts and bolts people here. Fruitland is a gift from God, folks. In spite of the things we've had, this is a great place to be involved in the Lord's work. It's a congregationally governed church. It's not run by hierarchy. As I've said many times, we don't make decisions in late night meetings and smoke-filled rooms. This is how the Bible talk. It's a hard way, but congregational government, by the way, come tonight. We have to have a business meeting. By the way, I don't like business meeting. I don't like business, but it's a part of the life, and it's a part of the church, and it's the way it ought to be. It shouldn't be controlled by a group of people or financial forces or anything else. A church should be conducted and operated on the basis of Jesus and operated the way he would have it to operate. So what I say is all churches have difficulties, but this isn't a bad place, folks. In fact, it has great potential. It's my prayer to see that really exercised in the days ahead. And yes, I know we live in tough times, but I still believe in the church. And I believe God will see it preserved until he's done with it. Anyway, we better get down to business here today. The local visible church, it's where we can see, it's what we can see and feel and experience. It gathers in a specific place. It's made up of born-again believers. That's the members of the church, okay? Just so we know all this, and you know, if you have questions, sometimes people that are not born again become members of churches. But the goal that we always have at Fruitland is to be sure people are saved. It's not to have big numbers, but to see people saved, and the results come from that. But always remember that. You don't know who you're playing around with in the churches. There's imposters. See, but it's based on the true believers. But it's identified, again, with people that have publicly identified with Jesus. And so I want to bring this thought to you this morning. The public identification that is shown in New Testament Scripture is the act of baptism by immersion. That's the sign that people put on that they have been identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection in salvation. And so the church, excuse me today, folks, for my poor speaking, the church is made up of people that not only have had a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, but it's also shown by the evidence that they have publicly been immersed in baptism, water baptism. And that's just a sign, again, that people need to consider. More about that as I go on here today. But the local church is a group or a gathering of born-again believers that are baptized, identified publicly by immersion as such for fellowship and fulfillment of Christ's great commission to fulfill Christ's desire that we should be the pillar and ground of the truth. I think I left off on this last time. If the church is not founded on the truths of the Word of God, it is on shaky ground. We must be founded on the rock who is Jesus Christ. Jesus has called us to be the pillar and ground of the truth. What it means is it's when you think of a structure of a building, the church is the underpinnings of all things. Folks, the church is the underpinning of families, of the things that take place in society, of government, everything else. The church should be the foundational place that you can turn to for the truth. But my friends, sadly, that's not the case in most places. I want to believe it's the case here at Fruitland. It's my desire to strive for that. I hope it is yours. But we must maintain the integrity and the purity of the truth being presented in Jesus' church. Otherwise, we have nothing to stand on. It's quicksand, and we're called to be built on the rock, who is Jesus. Please forgive me this morning for troubles that I have here with speaking. But, you know, when we talk about membership, and some of you have questions about that here at Fruitland, and I'm going to try to give you some of those thoughts today. But one of the things about the local church is, it should be anyway, it is voluntary. There is never going to be someone here at Fruitland that grabs you and says, hey, you need to join, or you need to do this, or you need to do that. The only one that can have you to do those things is the Holy Spirit. It's not a man-made thing. This is not a club. It's the church of the living God. And the Holy Spirit calls those who are to be a part of it, whether you choose to officially be a part of it or choose to be a part of it. Both are important, but those are things that you'll have to discern. I'll give you some more on that, though, today. But it is voluntary. Jesus doesn't force us to be saved. Jesus doesn't force us to do anything, but he wants us, okay, to be involved with his church. It's his desire because he died for it and he loves it. Folks, I don't know if we realize how precious the church is to Jesus. He gave himself for it. My friends, he loves us very dearly. We are the body of Christ. And we'll talk about that as well in just a minute. I want to look at three scriptures briefly this morning and we'll see how far we get. But I'd like you to go to 1 Timothy 3:15. And this is the essence of what I'm trying to convey here this morning. I'd like to read 14 through 16 while we're there. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, paying special attention to 15. And this is one of Paul's, what we call pastoral letters or epistles. He's writing to his understudy Timothy. And Paul, again, had foundational callings as to how the church was to be established. Paul wrote the book, literally, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for much of how the church was to function. Excuse me again. And so Paul now, as he's getting toward the end of his time, and Timothy is becoming involved and engaged in what he was called to in the ministry of the Lord, Paul says this, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." When we see that, we know that Paul had a desire to get back with Timothy, to have more fellowship and more interaction and education for Timothy. Paul was the master teacher here in this case. But the writing and the feeling that I get out of Paul's hand here is what? He's saying, Timothy, I may not get back with you to teach this all to you, but I want you to know this in this letter that was inspired, again, by the Holy Spirit. If I don't get there, or as he says here in 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. The King James Version uses that word behave just simply means how to conduct yourself. By the way, folks, we need to take a lesson from the Apostle Paul and the other writers of Scripture, how we handle his church, because it's precious to Jesus. There is a code of conduct of how the church is to be handled. And this is what Paul is trying to convey to Timothy. In the house of God, he says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You see, this is about God's Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who came to die for our sins. That's the basis of the church. All right, we've got that, right? Now, if you have your Bibles, a little bit more about the local visible church, but also, in a sense, the universal church in a little bit here. But 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. This is the essence of what the church is. As I said, what I'm going to read to you this morning applies to the universal church, but it is effected and palpable in this visible local assembly. And here again, under the hand of the Apostle Paul, he gives us some interesting things here that we can glean about the conduct and the function and the purpose of Jesus' local church. Paul writes, "For as the body is one," by the way, think about one here. The church is described as a living body. It's given in the sense of a human body. And the thing about our bodies is what? There has to be continuity within us to function, right? Obviously. And so unity is a big emphasis on the local church. By the way, that's one of the things that churches that we know that have problems, including Fruitland, the diagnosis there is when we stop being united in Jesus Christ and we begin to go off in other tangents, that's when we get into trouble. It's just like our own bodies. If we don't take care of our hand's not going to be able to take care of the rest of the body. You get the idea. It all fits together. And this is what Paul's saying. He says, "For as the body, the human body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." The body of Christ. He's talking about the church. We know that the goal for all of us should be union and unity for the sake of Jesus Christ. So in other words, when different things come down the pike, we've got to remember this is about Him. It's not about us. Okay? And it's about the body being preserved. Now, sometimes a body cannot be preserved. I ran into a gentleman that used to do a lot of hay buying and selling with my boys over at Kelowna. And he said, John, you know, here last year, I'm diabetic. I said, yeah, I hear you. He said, I got a bad infection in my foot. And I lost my leg. I noticed he was walking on a peg leg. Can you believe this guy? He was still loading round bales on a semi, throwing straps over out on the ice. He said, I got an infection and they had to take my leg. You know what? He has some hindrances. But the thing is, folks, that's what happens when we allow these kind of things to happen that sever part of our bodily members. It hurts the church. It hurts when we see troubles in the church, but it does happen because of our sin. But it doesn't have to happen. But Paul says, and he tells us how the church is formed here in verse 13. He says, for by one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Folks, this is not water baptism that's being talked about here. You know what baptism this is? It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's Spirit baptism. And what's being implied here is that when we are saved, we are baptized into the universal body of Christ, but it also makes us what? It makes us accountable in a local, visible way to the local church. I believe this. God wants every believer involved in a church. By the way, what is the smallest number that there can be to have a church? I see some hands going up with two, and that is exactly right. But that usually may not be the case. But, you know, we ought to be involved with others because this is not all about us. It's about, or you know, personally, it's about all of us and our union with Christ. So whenever there is a meeting of two, we know there's also a third person involved as well. Where two or more are gathered, Jesus says, there I am with you. He's here this morning, folks. He's here. Anyway, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or non-Jew, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the glue that holds the local church together. My friends, if you deduce weaknesses in the body here at Fruitland or any other local gathering of believers, it's because the power of the Holy Spirit has been quenched. The Holy Spirit is the glue that binds us together. See, that makes us aware of Christ's purpose, that enables us to what? To love one another. I believe this in all churches. Sometimes we have a hard time loving each other. We may say that we love each other, but we don't like each other. Even Fruitland Baptist Church, for the size it is very diverse. There are more things that could separate us than unite us, but there is nothing stronger that can keep us united than Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why there's hope here in any local church. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. We've been filled with the Spirit. And, well, we've been indwelt, but we're also able to be filled with the Spirit, again, as members of the universal church and also the body of Christ. By the way, if you should not expect anything else in a local church, there ought to be love, but there ought to be filling of the Spirit that goes there from the teaching and preaching of the Word. For the body is not one member, but many. The local church is set up to function because of how all of us are placed in this body. I've always thought I must be the foot. The Bible says that's the least comely part of the body. I won't say who is the head. Well, the head is Christ, but you get what I mean. We're all here for a purpose. Find your purpose, and let's see Fruitland work to its fullest potential. Now, the last turn today, Acts 2:38 through 47. Acts, and folks, the Bible is full of things about the church and the church age and how it is to function. But let's just get the essence of this here today. Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the church, the local church. Acts 2, and we're going to look at 38 through 47. Glean some of the things that took place here in that early day and see how that compares to today. We got to go fast here. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 38, and we're going to go through 47. Here's Peter up preaching. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Just to clarify that verse, what Peter is saying, it's always salvation first, followed by water baptism for identification. Okay? But if you look at this text, actually, in the actual Greek, in the little Greek word ice, what Peter is preaching here, he says, be saved, turn around, go to Jesus, and then, because you've been saved by Jesus, be baptized. That's what he's talking about here. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. By the way, we talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Calling. The calling of God. We'll talk about that more in the future. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So there's your first church. By the way, they didn't need a church growth movement there. The Holy Spirit's what brought the growth on. 3,000 people in one day. By the way, a lot of people have questioned about this. Should I officially join Fruitland Baptist Church or any other church? And I'll talk about that is if we don't get done today. That's in your court. But you can make a case here in these early days that there was some kind of an accountability where these people say, yes, I'm identified with here officially. I'm signed on the line, a part of this. And the first day there were 3,000 people added to that church. This is so neat. I'll tell you what, folks, if we could get back to this where people were living their faith, like we're going to find out here as we go on. Notice here, and they continued to come once in a while. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the teaching of the truth. And in fellowship. Is fellowship eating? Fellowship, it can involve eating, but fellowship is devout communication. That's one of the reasons we made this little change here to a connect time. It's not just to sit down and feed your face. It's to look at someone else's face and say, how are you today? Or they look at you and say, how are you today? And how's your walk going? How can I be an encouragement to you? How can I bear your burden and so fulfill the law of Christ? For fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. The breaking of bread here symbolizes what we went through the last time we met was communion. We're identifying all the time with Jesus' body that's been broken. And in a sense, when we sit down to have a meal, that's what we should be thinking about when we do that. But notice also in 42, in prayer. I'll tell you the power of a local church by the power of its prayer. You don't always have to come to prayer meeting. The point that I'm making, though, is the church should be a group of people that pray. Pastor John, your prayer life needs to improve. It's important. And notice what happened here in 43. One of the reasons our churches in our current day, and there's many, are not full, and I gave you a few of them to start with because of all the stories that come out of the churches, but what? Fear came upon every soul. Today we live in a time where the church is an option, but it's not an option to Jesus. He lets people not be involved in it because of his grace and mercy, but it's not his desire. He instituted this. It's his body. It ought to be important to us. Fear came upon every soul. You see, these people saw the action and power of God through the Holy Spirit in those days. And I'll tell you what, they stood up and took notice. Church wasn't an afterthought to them. It was a forethought. It was in the forefront of their thinking. Can you and I truly say that is the case in our lives today? I'm telling you by implication, it isn't as it should be with me. Even as the pastor, we are tempted to not want to do what? To become more involved and more reliable and more responsible for Christ Church, but to do what? To do less. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. By the way, that's why those things happened in those days. But I believe this, God still works miracles today. It's a miracle that we're here today. You start to think about some of these things. He may not choose today to heal the sick, but he'll heal you today from the sickness of sin. God brought upon these miraculous events for the formation of the church to show his dynamic power. Today, folks, the dynamic power is found through the Word and through the Spirit as he acts in people's lives. That's the evidence of how that takes place. And all that believed went their separate ways and were sure they hung on to everything that they owned. I had a little kerfuffle at Farm and Fleet this week. Where's Kim at? She's not here, is she? Oh, there you are. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry, Kim. I'm used to you being right here. Not anything serious, but I bought some feed, and I said, I think I am supposed to get a discount on this. And we had a little exchange about that. And the lady that checked me out said, I'm a Christian. And I said, you know what? This money is not my money. This is God's money. You know, we have to be careful how we handle things. But the bottom line here is that the me left and we became we in that early days of the church. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. By the way, the church was designed by Christ to fulfill needy people. We're not just talking here about groceries. We're talking about spiritual things. I believe Fruitland Baptist still has good things to offer. And that's how it needs to be. And notice here in 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. And notice verse 47. When's the last time you've sung a hymn in church and you really praised God during that singing? When's the last time you gave God the glory for all that he's done? I'll tell you what, I was just in awe here during these storms. I mentioned this Wednesday night. The beauty of this snow and God's creation and everything, it just shows his dynamic power. Who am I to do anything when it's 20 below zero with a 40 mile an hour wind? God took control those days. Let me tell you though something, folks. He wants control every day if we'll let him have it. And that's what these people did in the early church. And notice they weren't complaining. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. This is what's going on, folks. We're not doing it right. If we get it right, and you can do a lot of study about this, the church will become a dynamic force. Sometimes things ebb and flow, but it will become a dynamic force if we get these things right, and many more that are brought about in Scripture. Well, those are just a few places that give evidence to the local church. Now, in the last few minutes, and we will have to come back one more time, is that okay with everyone? Here's a point that I want to make known today, and then we'll finish for today. But throughout history, the church, local and universal, in a sense, has had highs and lows. True? It's had times of complacency and rejection versus revival and reception. I believe this, folks, with all my heart. We are coming out of a time where complacency and rejection has been the norm. Now, I don't know how much longer God has for the church, but I see today a calling out of a few. And by the way, I'll make a prediction here, even though I'm not a prophet. I think Fruitland Baptist Church is going to grow. Because I think in the day we live, there are a few that God is going to yet call. There are a few people that are looking for an honest church that has the pillar and ground of the truth, that is not compromised by politics, by power, and all the other things that go with it. So therefore, I'm telling you, I think Fruitland can be a great church. I want to meet Jesus with us doing our very best. That's for all of us to think about, because we're all one here, right? Okay. But I personally think that that is where we're at. As I say, I think there's a tendency for revival in our day. Now, according to Barna, it's not. The church is done. But I don't think it's done until we're done. And I don't see any reason why Fruitland can't still be a dynamic church in the days to come. And part of that dynamic part is just the type of people that we have here. Yeah, we could say, well, yeah, we got a pastor that's a problem. That could change too sometime. I'm getting older. Or you can change it. But you know what? There's a lot of good things here and a lot of people that have potential. You agree with that today? Anyway, but as people see the results and the suffering of living apart from the will of God, many places in the world, I'm hopeful for what yet can be done. And again, it's because of the corruption and everything. I'm going to give you a little point to ponder as we close. We'll finish this off next week, Lord willing, unless we have an ice storm or something, or other things intervene. But I just want you to think about this little fact to ponder. Some of you are going to be blown away when I tell you this. Some of you old-timers won't be. Within the last 80 to 100 to 100 years, people were actually asked in job resumes and interviews if they had regular attendance at church. Why? Today, they'd never ask anything like that. Because an employer that was worth their salt knew that they could get an employee that was worth their salt if they were faithful and regular in their involvement in a church. Do you believe all this that I'm telling you? You think it's just a lie? Zalpha, Patsy, is it true? Others? A regular church attendance record made a difference in the hiring. And something else that shows us how far we've gone, how church is not a priority anymore, which is the essence of our title today. It's an option for people, which it really isn't, but that's how Satan has skewed it. There used to be a time years ago when I was a young guy, and it's kind of disappeared, and even here at Fruitland. By the way, I'm encouraged to see people come to Sunday school. This is good stuff. Do you know that people used to get all excited about getting a little pin to wear because they made attendance in Sunday school perfectly in a year? Huh? What's happened to all that? We think it's corny. But you know what? It's not corny to Jesus. People used to wear those things, and that meant something to them. Think about that today. Where is your and I perspective? What is your and I perspective? I'm not saying this right. What is our perspective today regarding the church as a priority? Folks, we've lost it, but we can find it again. It does make a difference. It does make a difference. It's not done anywhere very much anymore that I know of, but it sure can be. But it's not about a pin. It's about what? A priority. We can wear all kinds of stuff on our clothing, but if it's done from the heart and it's a priority to God, let me tell you, you'll see growth and you'll see fantastic things happen when people let go and let God. Because God's local church, friends, the reason we don't have that today is not a priority in our day to most people, sadly. Now, next week, we're going to learn some things that you may wonder about, and I'm going to give you a little opinion, okay, about me. I want you to know today I love everyone, whether you're a member of this church or not. But I want to emphasize next week why I think it's a very good idea to consider becoming a Sign on the Line member. And it's not something to fear. It's something to embrace. And you're going to hear what that all involved, because it doesn't involve what you may think. There's really three things that we'll find next week that would be things that we wouldn't be find necessary to be a Sign on the Line member here at Fruitland Baptist Church. So we'll look forward to doing that next week. But today, again, I want to close with this. The church is made up of what? believers, people, technically believing people, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ. We are living in the age of the church where anyone can be saved. I want you to know that today Jesus is there to deliver you, to rescue you, if you have never placed your sin under His blood. The penalty of our sin will stop us from going to be with Jesus for all eternity and will cause us to have to pay the price for the penalty of our sins, which is eternal death in hell. Jesus does not want any to perish. We looked at that this morning in Sunday school, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. In the day that we live, everyone can be saved, whosoever will. In the day that we live, Jesus has told us through the hand of the Apostle Paul, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. I ask you today, as we further examine this in the future, are you a part of the universal church? Have you been baptized into the body of Christ, the great body that's invisible? Are you saved? Friend, today Jesus wants you to be a part of His church. And next week we'll see how He also wants us to be a part of His local church. Thank you for your good attention today. As always, if you have questions about this, you can come forward during our invitation hymn, or you can talk to me at the door, but I'll explain all of it next week in the time we have there allotted, should the Lord allow it. Thanks again, and let's have a great day in the Lord. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. 57. Priority of the church, but it's the perspective of our priority toward the Lord. And here's a time again. I have to go to the Lord regularly for a cleanup. It hasn't affected my salvation. My sins are covered in His blood. But sometimes we need to get a refreshed perspective. I like to use this term when, in my era, your mom carried a washcloth in a plastic bag to wash your face because it got dirty. Is that true, Kay? No, you surely never had. Today, if you're distant from the Lord, this is one of the first things. Let Him wash you. If you're saved, He's cleansed you, but get a cleanup. But if you're here today, evaluate where you're at with Jesus. He wants you involved in His family, in His program. He loves you dearly today. Let's sing it. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I trust we'll all have freedom in Jesus Christ today. What a blessed thing that is. No longer under the chains of repression and guilt, but under the living freedom that Jesus affords us. It's been good to fellowship with you this morning. I'm going to ask today that Denny Wheeler dismiss us in prayer.